Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. Thank you for everything that you do. We want to tell you that we love you, and we appreciate everything that you do. Today, we want to think about the value of a story. What value? I'm not sure whether you've ever thought about it, but what value do you place on telling a story, maybe to your grandchildren, to your children? What's the value of a story? Growing up, stories had a massive influence on my life and my actions, and I'm sure they do most young children. We hear stories and we want to act them out. Growing up, I heard my early influences were stories of pirates, of cowboys. I'd get out there and I'd ride my horse and shoot bad guys, and I'd make swords and chop down, you know, pirates. I had stories read to me by my great-grandfather, and stories of examples of great faith, of men of the Old Testament. And I would go out there and I would make slingshots and practice my slingshot work. I was acting out these things, the Long John Silver and David's, killing bad guys and taking down giants. You're the God who parts the ocean wide, just to bring us closer to your side. You're the God who brings the dead to life. We believe, oh, we believe. Every day for weeks on end, for months, Linda would hear this noise in the washing machine, and it would be rattling around, and she was like, "What is that noise?" And she'd open the washing machine and she'd find 5 stones, and each day this happened over and over again, and she couldn't work out where these stones were coming from until she went through Adam's pockets one day and she discovered 5 stones, and he'd been collecting these stones every day and putting them in his pocket. You have to think, was he preparing himself to take down giants? He was hearing stories of faith and he was playing them out when he was 3 years old. Today we're up to 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath. It's a very well-known story. I'm sure most young people have heard it. But as I was reading through the story this time, I got to this part where David was facing the giant, and I thought, what? Where did this guy, as a teenager, where did he get the idea that he could take down this grown, trained warrior? What was it that gave him this ridiculous idea, to use Saul's words, that he could actually beat this giant? The whole of the army of Israel, all the men of Israel, fully clothed, full weapons, they're all shaking in fear. And here comes David, a kid, and he says, "Let me do it. I'll take him down." Where did David get that idea? And God, how great you are, and great things you have done. For everything we've seen, there is more to come. Every victory, every battle won. For everything we've seen, to answer that question, we have to ask the question, I think, whose knee was David sitting on as a young child? Who was telling him, who was filling his head with these ideas of that he could do this, take down this giant? And so I have to, you know, think about this. It's not written in the Bible, but if you look at the genealogy of David, you discover that his great-grandmother was Ruth. And I want to think about the idea that David was actually sitting on his great-grandmother's knee, and maybe great-grandfather Boaz, and ask them to tell stories about, you know, their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers. Stories of faith. Stories that were orally told about Noah. Tell me the story of Noah, David would say. Did it really take him 100 years to build a boat? Yes, David. It took him 100 years and because he believed what God told him. He had great faith. Tell me the story about Abraham. Was he really going to kill Isaac? Yes, David. Abraham had great faith. Tell me the story about Joseph and going into Egypt. You know, in the famine, did he really save up 7 years of 7 years of grain? Yes, David, he believed what God told him to do. Tell me the story about Moses. Did Moses really stand up to Pharaoh and lead his people out of Egypt? Yes, David, Moses believed what God told him. He had great faith. Tell me the story of Joshua. Did Joshua really go out and walk around the city of Jericho 7 times and then blow his trumpet? Did he really believe that would bring the city down? Yes, David. Joshua had great faith. David gives us an insight into his thinking in this chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I don't have time to read the whole chapter to you. You know the story. But chapter 17, verse 32. This is David. He says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go and fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You are only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "And when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this Philistine pagan too, for he's defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." David had great faith. I think he believed that the God who saved Noah would save him. I think he believed that the God who protected Isaac from being killed would protect him. I think he believed the God who rescued Moses and Israel from Egypt would rescue him. I think he believed the God who gave victory to Joshua would give victory to him. He believed that the God who redeemed Ruth would redeem him. He got this idea that this is a living God. He's an active God, and he's able to rescue. Do you see the power of a story? A story is like seeds that get sown into the mind and influence the way people live. They give us a belief. They give us a faith. It's the reason these stories are recorded for us in the Old Testament. and the New Testament retells them. Hebrews chapter 11. I love this chapter. But verse 1 tells us what faith is. It says that faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is the confidence. What we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance. Assurance about things that we cannot see. I mean, faith makes salvation a reality. Faith does that. Faith makes salvation a reality. Faith makes victory over giants possible. Faith makes victory over sin possible. Faith gives us courage to overcome the unknown. Faith gives us hope for healing, for protection, for security. It's hope that gives us assurance. This is assurance that what we believe will actually happen. That's what faith is. It's a powerful thing. What do you put your faith in? When David had an opportunity to wear the king's armor, put on his armor of the king and represent the whole of Israel, I'm sure he felt quite important for a few minutes until he realized this armor is just a false, it's not going to protect me. It's actually getting in the way. It's a hindrance to me and my faith. And he threw it off. He put his faith in God. And what are you putting your faith in? What do you trust for salvation? Is it your good deeds? Maybe you're a good person. But is it enough that you'll be saved? Do your good deeds outweigh your bad? You can't trust in that. Who do you trust for, you know, victory over sin, over the giants in your life that threaten to take you down? Your own strength, your own ability? Who do you trust for direction in your life? Your own wisdom? What people say to you, this is a good idea? Who do you trust for security and for protection and for healing, for hope? David put his faith in God for a good reason, that the God who had rescued all of these stories, these people in the stories, would rescue him. And it's the reason this is recorded in Hebrews for us. They're not just stories. They're a reason for us to put our faith in God. These stories are fact. And we can believe the God who rescued these guys will still rescue us. Today, we want to thank mums for all that you do. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. But I wonder, have you thought about the greatest thing that you could actually do, and I'm sure you do, is pass on a story of faith. That will change a child's life. I'm sure that Ruth, when she was telling the stories to David, that she never thought that he'd take down a giant. But she gave him the faith to. I'm sure that we can't take down our, we'd love to step in and rescue our children every time they got into trouble. But we can't. They've got to fight their own giants. But what we can do is pass on a story of faith. And they put their confidence not in their own ability but in God. Not in the things of this world. They put their faith in a living God. You couldn't give your child a greater gift than that. A gift of faith. All of our hope in, all of our trust in, all of our future in, the God who never fails, all of our faith in, all of our strength in, all of our future in, the God who never fails, all of our hope in tonight, and all of our trust in, all of our future in, the God who never fails, all of our faith in, all of our strength in.